right. Welcome. We are glad to have you with us again. Another week in your Pharisee-free zone. You are listening to Towel Prince Live on a Sunday night on FamilyNet Radio. What better could you possibly be doing? This is the question. So tonight we're going to have a really special night for you. We have a special guest in the studio that I will introduce to you. And so if you have ever, or if you had problems in your marriage, if you're married, if you had problems kind of shifting over to being parents, this is a good night for you. If you know anybody who has had trouble in that shift to becoming, you know, parents, and how do you maintain your marriage in spite of having the children around and, you know, babies to take care of and all the stress and strain comes with that, man, this is a great night for you. We have an expert in this field, and we're going to be very happy to have her contributing tonight. And so we want to encourage you also. I imagine some of you will have some questions about this, and you know how we like to do that here, and really the only way that we can do that here currently is for you to go to Facebook and jump into the Towel Prince Live Radio page at Facebook, and you can submit your questions there as we go. And so we look forward to getting your comments and questions along the way on this topic. So if you've got some friends that are struggling with this, if you're struggling with this, go ahead and get on the phone right before we go to commercial break. And then and you can let them know to dial in, listen, familynetradio.com, and jump into the Facebook dialogue with us. So let me just check in with my lovely wife, Teresa, and say, baby, how are you doing today?
I'm good. And, you know, I was just thinking, I have a few friends who are so not ever going to be on Facebook. So they could email Tal at talprincelive.com. If they have a question and don't want to set up a Facebook account just for that.
Yeah, you can. You can email to tal@talprincelive.com. Go ahead and do that, and I will check that now during the show. Thank you for that. That's a good suggestion. And so go ahead and email me directly there, tal@talprincelive.com, and I will check those emails during the show. If you have some questions that you want to get in without the stress and strain of Facebook and their constant changes, which really seem to annoy many people. it's free. I don't get too bent. Garrett, how are you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. I haven't even been on Facebook in so long. I'm just feeling stress-free, bro. But I didn't even know the topic of tonight's show, so that's kind of a bummer right there. And so you win some, you lose some.
I was
right
going to say,
there,
I figured you hadn't been on Facebook.
Give
when
a little,
you asked,
take
hey,
a little.
What are we talking about tonight?
What? But say, that's a great benefit of being on Facebook, so it's well worth the stress, I think.
There is some connectivity going on.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for you.
But good, overall good.
Yeah, well, very good. I'm glad. Let me go ahead and tell you who we have on the show tonight. This is going to be a fun one, I think, and a serious and just a very important topic given what goes on in our world today. But we are privileged to have Kara Jones with us. She is a licensed professional counselor, one in a never-ending series currently of licensed professional counselors coming to our show from Covenant Counseling and Education Center here in Birmingham, Alabama. And we are very glad about that. Very, very happy to have such good
879-7500.
Yeah, if you're in the Birmingham area, 879-7500, a number I've given out many, many times, typically takes about, I don't know, usually if I give it to somebody, about 15 or 20 times before they actually will pick up and
dial
make
it.
The call. Yeah, I mean, a counselor.
It's worth it. Yeah.
What are people going to think if I go to a counselor? You know, so we get that a lot. But 879-7500, Covenant Counseling and Education Center here in the Birmingham area. You can schedule an appointment with Kara, and we would encourage that you do that. And we'll talk to her about what her kind of specialties are in addition to parenting and how marriages make that transition into parenthood. How do you do that? Because we were asking Kara before the show, you know, are there any good resources, about this? What are the books? What are the things that we can recommend? And there's very little.
Yeah. Well, and I think for us, a lot was unspoken. So, I mean, we had, you know, it was like, oh, can we really say that? Is this bugging you that you feel like there's not time? And, you know, so I'm glad for a chance to talk about the topic for other people to not try and white knuckle their way through it.
Oh, yeah. And let me just say, if you don't know already, nothing in your life will expose to you how selfish you individually are.
Isn't that the truth?
Until you bring kids in. Okay? Yeah. When you have kids, you will find out what a selfish weasel you are. So here we go. We're going to jump to break, and we'll be right back with Kara Jones from Covenant Counseling Education Center talking about making the change from just marriage to parenthood. You're listening to Towel Prince Live on FamilyNetRadio.com.
Yeah.
Sugar and the Stones. Garrett Irby. Working his bumper magic with some Rolling Stones tonight. That makes me happy. All right. So we're talking tonight with Kara Jones, our licensed professional counselor from Covenant Counseling and Education Center here in Birmingham, Alabama. We're talking to her about making the shift from being husband and wife to now being husband and wife and parents. Because there's not a lot out here to prepare you for that. And you just think, well, we'll just be parents. What could go wrong? So Kara, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah. We are just really thrilled to have you. We have heard many wonderful things about you. And so not the least of which from our good friend, Alice Chernock, who is a regular, a perennial on Tal Prince Live. And so she raves about you, as well as many other people that we know. And they talk and say great things about you. So we're really excited to have you here tonight.
Thank you so much.
What got you interested in this particular realm, of counseling? What got you interested in this area of relationships?
You know, it's kind of a process, actually. It's a good question. I actually ran across an article, a research article, that the statistics were pretty staggering on what happened in my own life. When my husband and I got married about 5.5 years ago, he made me pinky swear that we would wait 2 years before we even thought about having kids. And I didn't blink an eye. I thought,
right.
Well, that's no problem. I can easily make that promise. Uh-huh. But he was really afraid that after we had kids that he would lose me. And I just thought, you know, that's crazy. You know, what are you thinking? You know, that's not in my plan. But when I ran across that article and saw some of the statistics and what statistics said about what happened to couples after that transition to parenthood, I thought, wow, there's really something into this. And so I really started researching, and there's really a lot to that fear for him. And
Well, can you share some of those statistics with us? What does it look like? What's the landscape when kids enter a marriage? What happens?
Well, on average, about 67% or 2/3 of couples, their marital satisfaction drops dramatically through the first few years of the child's life, and it happens slowly. Mm-hmm. But some studies, even up to 80% of couples have this dramatic decrease and marital satisfaction and happiness with each other in the relationship. And, you know, that's just not something that you hear on a regular basis. And so that really piqued my interest. Why does that happen? And why, you know, having not experienced it myself at that point in my life, and now I have a 10-month-old and I'm right in the middle of it. But I definitely wanted to know more and know why. You know, my husband had this intuition that there was something to that.
Right.
You know?
So a 10-month-old now.
10-month-old, yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Did you?
Well, I was going to say, do you feel like the research you did and just knowing to anticipate, wow, this can really take something away from our marriage? Mm-hmm. I mean, it can bring huge blessings, but do you feel like you were better equipped walking into parenthood?
I do. I think I probably knew too much on one side, but I think, and there's been, again, a lot of studies that even say, okay, if you give this couples this information and they know, hey, you're all in the same soup, this is probably likely what you're going to experience, then it's not such a panic when they're there and they're experiencing these things and feeling like, you know, this is, there's something wrong here.
Right.
You know, there's something wrong with us and our relationship. No, this happens to 2/3 of couples.
Yeah, I love that. Because also, I mean, you can't just say, well, we just won't have kids and then we'll stay blissfully happy. Because, I mean, that, talk about satisfaction going down the drain for someone who really wants children.
Right.
That would be equally or possibly more damaging.
Right.
So, yeah. So I love that we're talking about this option to how to communicate well, true intimacy, walking intimately with our child, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty staggering that the number, I mean, the 2/3 of couples report a loss in marital satisfaction within the first, or, you know, the early years, you know, of the child's life. And so I think, you know, I think a lot of us may intuitively think that it's, yeah, maybe a little bit, but not, you know, not two-thirds.
Yeah, two-thirds. And even, like I said, some studies show up to 80% of couples have do experience it. And what happens is a really slow drop. But if you think, you know, after years and years, and you can see, and you can, you know, just think about how this happens, you know, slowly you grow apart. And, you know, 5, 10 years down the road, suddenly there's this huge, you know, gap. And who, you know, how do I even relate to this person that I live with, you know?
So what's the landscape now? I mean, why do you think, what are some of the attributing factors as to why there's this drop? I mean, two-thirds of couples experience a drop in marital satisfaction. What are kind of some of the reasons for that?
Well, I think that we all, if you think back to that time in your life when you first, you know, had that new child there with you, you probably think of all the difficulties that were that time was just laden with. But some of the highlights that research really shows are that when a baby arrives, oftentimes there's that initial humongous lack of sleep and rest and exhaustion. Yeah. And that becomes the root of a lot of problems for people. Hostility increases, conflict increases just because of that extreme exhaustion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, couples start missing each other. They just stop speaking the same language. And instead of helping each other and supporting each other, sometimes it just becomes tired and frustrating.
Do you think couples come into having children with unrealistic expectations?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people, and I know probably when my husband, you know, shared his initial fears with me, my thought is, okay, you have a family. It's kind of like getting a puppy, you know, it'll be so fun and we'll just, and it'll be close and it'll be kind of warm, fuzzy feeling as a family and it'll bring us together and it'll, you know, it'll be a product of our love for each other. And, and so there's that idealistic, you know, expectation that this baby is going to really complete us and it'll draw, you know, my husband in and closer to me and we'll just be complete.
And people that we've worked with on the on kind of the addiction side of things, you know, we're very familiar with, well, we'll get married and this will fix our issues.
Well, and I was thinking about all that. I mean, it walking into parenthood, so many times they probably do it not very healthy and really communicating well anyway. And then, I mean, because I know I was trying to do everything
right,
and that can be really that can just increase the balance that is not there.
Right. And for a lot of couples that if there is that kind of disconnection before, like, well, if we have a child, we'll have this common ground and it'll help us.
Oh yeah.
You know, it'll help just make us a better family. And that is quite the opposite, especially with what research shows, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine, because I think a lot of guys come in going, okay, I'll get married, this will fix some of my issues.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women may then in turn go, we'll have children, and this will fix our relationship issues. And, you know, cause, I mean, I know a lot of guys just kind of finally quit fighting and will go, okay. And so then there's kind of a built-in bitterness about this, you know, this child who did nothing to earn that at all. So now there's some conflict there, and then the child, just the presence of the child is not going to fix it. It's going to stress you out. It's going to bring up things, and it does point out how selfish everybody is, you know, or at least the guys I know.
No, it's done that for me as well. No, but yeah, for men, oftentimes the expectation is, all right, she'll get a child and she'll be happy and she'll be happy with me now. And then what happens is oftentimes the conflict increases when the exhaustion and on average, a baby adds about 40 hours of work.
Wow.
Of work.
I believe it.
You're already heavy workload a week, and then everything that you had to do before, you have a baby in tow to get that done too. So it's pretty staggering, and that's definitely one of the things that another thing that I didn't mention is identity changes happen. There's new roles and new identities of moms, and moms seeing themselves as moms maybe now for the first time and not primarily as a wife or so that's going on. Some of the other things that you know, for a lot of women, there's a high incidence of postpartum depression after having a child. And so that affects oftentimes happiness after a baby comes. And obviously romance. When the baby's born and you're exhausted, sex declines dramatically. And there's just a huge shift that happens for couples.
Did you have a...
Oh, no. I was thinking back to adoption. I mean, even with adoption, families who are waiting, that post-adoption stress can happen. And there's so much attention on the baby showers and getting everything ready. And just, and then there's a window after the baby comes where it's normal. And if you've fed a lot or gotten a lot of energy from everyone just doting on you, that can add to it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we saw that in the adoption community. You know, people just kind of... Hey, all the attention, you know, quit.
Yeah.
And you know, bad things can happen as a result of that, and that, you know, that we saw, and it's very, very sad. So I want to go back to something you said, that on average, a baby, you know, bringing a baby into the house adds about 40 hours a week onto the normal, just everything else you got. Because I know Teresa and I were like, well, you know, we've got dogs. you know, so I mean, you know, come on, it's not gonna be that big of a shift. But wow,
it's a
and you kind of like, man, I should never have said that out loud. And then, but now, so 40 hours a week in addition to everything, that's staggering.
It's staggering, and regardless of work status. So regardless of whether the wife works full time or the husband works full time, a lot of the research shows that women do 2/3 of that work. So even if they're working full time, they're again carrying that load. And so a lot of what you hear from women, from mothers, is I'm so tired. And so you can see how just so quickly and so inconspicuously that just can sneak in and kind of create a wedge between a husband and a wife.
And I would think a lot of it, and for me too, a lot of it, the women not knowing, not hearing a conversation like this or having a friend that talked honestly with them can bring that on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I had wanted to be a mom so bad that I wanted to do everything. I mean, I was like, you just work and make the money and I'll do everything else. But you cannot sustain that forever. And it's not good for your child for mom to do everything.
Right.
And I mean, that for us, when we got car seats for his car, was such a beautiful time. That he was going to take them to school some. And I think for me, letting go a little bit, something as insignificant as that was very significant in our parenting journey.
Thank you, baby.
So.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I know, you know, for a lot of the men, you know, listening, that they are very worried about, you know, well, sex is going to decrease, and I'm not at all cool with that. I mean, I know a lot of men, you know, really do go through that when that just topic is up for discussion. Is there, I mean, do you have any information on that specifically? You know, that well, we're going to go to break, so I didn't time that well. So, yeah, ironically, talking about sex.
Yeah. Not even the time to talk about it.
Thank you very much. All right, you're listening to Tao Prince Live on FeminineRadio.com. We will be right back. All right, welcome back. Tao Prince Live on a Sunday night. Glad to have you with us. We are here, fortunate and blessed to have Kara Jones with us in studio tonight, talking about making the jump to from just being husband and wife to having to being parents, to having children, and all that goes along with that. And right before the break, we got into, you know, I set up a question about, because I know a lot of men do, you know, think about and get worried about, you know, the decrease of sex that's coming, you know, more than likely when a child enters the picture. You know, what's the reality of that?
What's the reality of how it decreases, or how?
I mean, you know, does it decrease? What can, you know, what can people expect? What's it really look like, you know, just from the research that you've seen?
Research shows that it does decrease. Mm-hmm. And in fact, especially if there's postpartum depression going on, there's really not a whole lot of interest on the woman's part for it. So I haven't looked at a lot of research onto how long that persists, but especially in those first few months of transition and all the physical change that's happened from the woman's perspective, and especially if she's nursing, there's just a lot that goes into that. But there's also hope for that, as for all of this. In fact, the research shows that if we were talking about just a second ago, if couples know that this is part of what their future holds, then they can manage a lot better. Then they can make it a commitment of, hey, I want to have a marriage-centered household rather than a child-centered household, and focus on those things that make romance and sex a priority in the relationship.
Right. I think it's a great distinction and just a great discovery. That, you know, I'm really blown out by that. You know, that bringing a baby in adds 40 hours a week. To your life, of work, and I think a lot of men need to hear that just to understand, because women are doing 2/3 of that work. Plus, they've if it's been a biological pregnancy, you're the biological parents. You've got the physical impact that the woman has endured, as a result of 9 months of carrying the child, then delivering the child. And I think a lot of men, I think we miss that. And
right. And that tired of women being tired, and that affects their desire to interact sexually as well. And so if men listening see that statistic and are kind of awed by it as you are, I think the biggest thing they can do to support their wives is help in any way that they can.
And
put the car seat in your car.
There you go. Well, and I think in just being honest, we've shared our story a lot, that the sexual component of marriage and intimacy, it's not always about the baby that's taking it away. Sometimes it's just they've got their own stuff that's been going on.
Right.
And now maybe baby's an okay excuse.
Exactly.
To get some of the pressure off. So, knowing that, it's real. You're doing your parenting and your child a huge favor and giving them a blessing for you all to be able to communicate before children about some of those things, because
that is a wonderful point that you made, because there's so much research, tons of research that really support that the greatest gift that you can give your children is to love each other. Developmental milestones and their success in life. There's so much that happens when you're able to really love each other and make your relationship, your communication, a priority. That happens vicariously through that relationship for your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to follow up on something you said, just a moment ago about, a marriage-centered home rather than a child-centered home, which piggybacks on that. But we have a question from Alice Haygood-Chernock.
Oh, Alice.
That is thrown in, which is a great, great question. And she says, Kara, will you touch on the resentment that can occur between husbands and wives? I'm thinking about, for us, that I went from being a professional to a professional with a child, and I really resented Matt for a long time.
I think that's a great point, and I think it goes back to your identities and your roles changing. Mm. You see yourself, Alice, you saw yourself as a professional woman, and you still very much are, but now you've cut back on that role, and that was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I think that I can identify with that a lot. And so maybe Matt didn't have to. And so it's easy to see that and to have those hard days at home when, the baby is fussing or the children are cranky and to really have that resentment there. So I think that the couples that, I think this is an important thing to point out, people that maintain their marital satisfaction after the transition to parenthood. That does not mean that they didn't ever have conflict or that they didn't right. ever have resentment. But what it means is that they were able to talk about those resentments, and they were able to communicate and come to a place of repair and come to, I mean, 60% of conflict in marriage, even good marriages, is unresolvable conflict. Yes. And so really it's not couples who transitioned well are not couples who do it right all the time. They're still going to have conflict. They're still going to have resentment,
right.
but they're going to be able to really hash it out and in a constructive way that really supports each other rather than kind of hostily tearing each other down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or passively just stuffing it and then, he'll take this.
Yeah.
Or she'll. Yeah. Well, and that kind of goes with Jeremy. Yeah, question great. Here on the blog. He said, what are the characteristics of a marriage that is healthy enough for kids? Or if you want to take it the other way, the unhealthy characteristics that would be things to address before having kids?
That's a great question. And, you know, a question that I asked a million times, you know, we were into our 30s before we finally made the plunge to have our first.
Yeah.
And I think even on the opposite end of the spectrum, you can get to a place where you try to, you know, I knew so much of what happened, and so I wanted to make sure that it didn't happen, but I don't have that control.
Right.
But I think to answer his question, one of the biggest, do I have time? How much time do I have? Can I share a little study with you?
We got about 4.5 minutes.
Okay, great, great. There is a study by a man named Houston out of the University of Virginia that he studied newlywed couples for 5 years, and he found that the couples who were happily married after 5 years, the distinguishing characteristic for them was emotional responsiveness. And so I would say, again, you're not that you have a conflict-free marriage. That is not right. what, you know, that is not what...
That's not realistic.
That's well, not reality.
Right. but really, what that is not that you, you know, as a couple walk around all the time either ushy-gushy emotional either, but it's in those difficult times that you're able to to really respond on an emotional level. If there is a fight, if there is a conflict, or if there is stuff going on, that you're able to respond in a way that is available, that you're emotionally available for each other, that you support each other, all of those kind of things. So if you feel like that emotional responsiveness, and actually there is a 1 Peter 3:8-9, I think this is kind of the verse that to me, in a biblical sense, like, defines emotional responsiveness, and it's live in harmony with one another. And here's the key of kind of emotional responsiveness. Be sympathetic, compassionate, and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because this you are called so that you may inherit a blessing. Mm. Yeah. And just that sympathy, compassion, and humility with each other is really what's going to be able to help you to repair from some of those conflicts that you're having and communicate well and have that intimacy that, you know, a marriage requires.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like just to be able to say, you know, look, we want to start trying to have children, and let's commit to each other that you can tell me when you're frustrated, and I might not be able to fix it. You may not want me to fix it, but I want to hear what frustrates you, what is exciting for you, and to be able to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing for us is I always wanted to defend myself. I mean, it always became about we had to get to resolution. But once we got to a place that I wasn't going to fix, I mean, he could be frustrated, and for me just to know it and say, I really appreciate you telling me that.
Mm-hmm. That's emotional responsiveness.
Yeah. So it's not fixing.
No, it's not fixing.
And that changed. I mean, this was just last summer. And we've done a lot of recovery and a lot of walking. But had we had that when we were new parents, newlyweds, how it would have changed
right.
and eased some of our road that was still good. But
Yeah. So Jeremy, I think you got your question answered, dude. There's a lot of good information in that, and emotional responsiveness is really that's big. I mean, that's a key.
There's a whole nother night to talk on that subject.
Oh, we really
November.
Could. We could come back and do a whole show on on how to be emotionally responsive.
Right, it's important.
It's very important, and I think most people don't really know how to do that, and and a lot of men are really struggling with it, and so. But I think that would be a great night to. That would be a great night. So we've booked Kara for her second Talbot appearance. Just like that. Just like that. That's how we work here. So I know we're getting ready to go to break, so I don't want to tee up something else. But I know when we come back, what I want to get to is this dialogue of going back to marriage-centered household versus a child-centered household.
That's a great picture.
Because we've seen the helicopter moms. We've seen that go down. Mm-hmm. And, it's so in our culture, in our world, today, everything says make the children the center of everything,
right.
and that'll destroy.
We want 7-year-old superstars that are on track for the Olympics. I mean, right. It's just so much naturally of the world.
Yeah, and you add, you add the traveling soccer and all those things to it, and it's wow. So I mean, not those
makes
bad things,
infanthood look like nothing.
Yeah, 40 hours a week plus travel. Thank you very much. You're listening to Tal Prince Live, FamilyNetRadio.com. We will be right back. On a Sunday night on Family Net Radio. Probably the only night Family Net Radio gets any John Mayer or any of our
brothers. Probably. Yeah, probably.
It's good. It's good. We're affecting change. All right, so you're listening to Tal Prince Live, Family Net Radio. We are talking tonight about making the jump from husband and wife to mom and dad. How do you effectively do that? How do you, what are the false expectations most of us have? We've had Kara Jones kind of walk us through a lot of the false expectations people have when they come in. We've talked about the sharp decline in marital satisfaction that 2/3 of couples experience. So we've talked about, the need for emotional responsiveness in the marriage. We've talked about that. And then you made a comment about having a marriage-centered home versus a child-centered home. I think this is, where we can spend the rest of the time. Becky Irby, who's normally, here at a mic and on air with us, said on Facebook that since premarital counseling, I've always said, thought, and realized that one of the most negatively impactful facts about my life was that my parents made us the center of their world and not each other. They meant well, but I want to do differently. And I think that is a key. And, in our world, we've got a 9 and a 7-year-old. And so we see the pace of extracurricular. We see the pace of curricular. Holy cow. Then add to that, extracurricular and soccer. And then there's the traveling leagues and all of these things that are good. I mean, there's nothing bad about those things. But you can very quickly drift to making the children the center, of your relationship. That's kind of what you unite around.
I was going to say, and not to mention the busy, mm-hmm. but the responsibility that puts on the children mm-hmm. for maintaining that family unit and mm-hmm. winning the game mm-hmm. and being there for mom and dad, because that's when mom and dad are happy, mm-hmm. when I do mm-hmm. so great. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot for our kids to bear for us.
Oh, yeah. And so we see that, and we see the helicopter moms, and we see all that. And I know divorce rates spike after children get out of the house and go to college or get out of the house. And that's typically because you've had a relationship that was centered on the kids. Well, now they're gone.
Right.
You don't have anything in common anymore because you don't have the games to go to. You don't have all that stuff to do. You don't have the daily drama of their lives. And so a lot of marriages fall apart at that point, because it's not a crisis. Christ-centered relationships, not a Christ-centered home, or it's not focused on their marital relationship. It's just the kids, and then when that's gone, down you go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what it is, from your perspective. What is a marriage-centered home versus a child-centered home?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, there's really not a recipe of steps to take. There, you know, there are characteristics of you know, things that have been found that are helpful to couples, and that is kind of, like I said, emotional responsiveness. And but I mentioned some of the research earlier. For a lot of couples who were given the information that once a baby or once a child comes into your family, these are the things that are more than likely going to happen for you. Just having that intervention, just having that discussion, just having that honesty with other couples who've been through it, or some sort of person in their life can make a big change for people. It can really help that transition become a lot smoother. But as far as having a marriage-centered household versus a child-centered household, I think it's really just important for the couple to have those type of conversations. How can we keep our marriage a priority through this? And this is important to me. It's important to you. And so that's going to be a conversation that you continue to have through the different phases in life, whether it's infanthood, whether it's, you know, your kids are 7 and 9 and you're going to soccer games. And for example, for us right now, that is, how do we make our marriage a priority? And that's a conversation that we're having. And if I'm feeling like I'm not getting that time, then that's a discussion that my husband and I have. And I think it's really important to have those lines of communication open. But this isn't, you know, for us, what that looks like right now. We don't have any family in the area. So we're really, you know, as far as getting away together, I think that's important for all couples, having that time, just time to reconnect. So for us, we, you know, we try to make that our marriage a priority by setting aside one time a week to get together, to go out together, just us, and have that time away from the child, you know. But there are a million different ways that that can look like, whether it's sharing, you know, babysitting responsibilities with a friend if they don't have family and you can't afford a babysitter, or, you know, whatever that looks like. I think the most important thing is that you're having discussions with your spouse about how to make your relationship the focus in the house.
Yeah.
I think it's critical, you know, to make sure you do that. And I know you hear people talk about date night. You got to have date night as a couple. You got to have date night. You got to have date night. And instead of, you know, even after you get married, before kids, that you need to maintain that structure of continuing to date. I think the reality is most people kind of fall off of that. I
mean, well, and by the time you pay to go to a movie or pay a babysitter, I mean, it's crazy. I look at the thing, I'm like, and then you'll be out with friends who don't have children and aren't paying a babysitter. And I'm like, they don't realize we owe a babysitter $45 already.
Every time you leave the house, it's about $40.
And you haven't eaten.
you hadn't eaten. You hadn't seen a thing. You just, you know, you have driven out of the driveway and $45 is gone and you hadn't done anything yet. And that is a real concern. And, you know, it does make
That's when family being around, if you have that, is a real help. But I think it's important too for churches to know this. In fact, our church a couple of months ago had a parents' night out just for that reason. You know, maybe once a month, even making that a possibility. If people know how important this is. Another one, if you can't get out, I think bedtime is really a helpful can preserve that time together. If kids are up to all hours of the night, they go to bed at 10 and you go to bed at 10, then, you know, you go to bed without any time, you know, to have together. So bedtime can be a real helpful thing.
And great for your kiddos if you can get them used to going to bed at 7:30 or 8 and get the sleep they really need.
And that brings up a whole other, you know, topics. I know a lot of people, especially when it's babies, you know, want to have the kids in the bed. And do you have any information on that as to, because I know there's raging debate as to the whole family bed concept.
Oh, I'm not saying a word.
Well, that's a real charged topic. I mean, I haven't, you know, I don't have any research per se right off the top of my head that I can, I think that's where it goes back to, as a couple, you know, it might really bother one member of the relationship, and it might not bother the other person. But that, again, if that is, you know, in my own personal experience, that would be a real hindrance to mm-hmm. our time together again. Yeah. And so for us, you know, of course, I have a 10-month-old, so that's mm-hmm. that's easy to say, go in your bed right yeah. now. But, yeah. yeah. you know, but I think that that, you know, is another topic that needs to be discussed as a couple.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Well, yeah, it could be a fun and charged show.
Ooh.
Yeah, Teresa's saying, you know,
find a week I'm not here. well, yeah. I'm kind of changing the subject, but unless we want to hang there a little
bit. No, go.
Okay. Any input on, is it helpful for mom and dad to both find ways to significantly help, or is it okay? I mean, is it for mom to say, I want to do everything, and honey, you just work and show up for dinner?
Is it important? Say that again. I want to make sure I understand your question.
Is there a difference, do you feel, in them being united or... and for the impact on the children, if mom and dad both share some care responsibilities and getting them placed, I mean, as they grow, you know, infant all the way up, or mom saying, I really want to do it all. I'll change all the diapers. I'll do the feedings.
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know a mother out there who probably doesn't maybe want in their heart of hearts feel like they should be able to do it all and maybe mm-hmm. want to try to do it all, but mm-hmm. feel so inadequate to be mm-hmm. able to do it all. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helpful for the children to see, you know, dad, you know, being compassionate to that and helping mm-hmm. and really being hands-on and involved, you know. And so I think it's a good thing for them to see that. And in fact, this is something that I didn't mention a little while ago, but In households where marital satisfaction is suffering, the dad is, in those households, is the one that usually ends up isolating himself. Yeah. And so if there is a marital issue going on, oftentimes in order to protect, in order mm-hmm. to decrease the conflict that's happening, dad ends up withdrawing, and not mm-hmm. in every situation, but that's really what research shows is mm-hmm. that. And so again, moms, if you want your husband, if you want that closeness, then marital satisfaction and really reaching each other and is the way to draw the family to closer, you know,
because then all of a sudden dad feels like an outsider in his own home. I mean, we right. saw that. I mean, and it was, but once Tal started doing stuff and then the kids, I mean, I go out of town now and I don't even leave meals. I mean, they do whatever dad does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was such a fun thing. And it's been so cool to watch the kids really see, you know, okay, my life doesn't end if mom leaves.
Right.
Dad can still
no.
feed me and get me to bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Dad always knows where McDonald's is. So.
Oh, and see, I'm like building you up, and you just.
Yeah, I know. I deflect the affirmation that I desire. It's one of my things.
But I asked that because it was very yeah. meaningful in our
yeah,
in
it,
our marriage, and
great.
We didn't come upon it until our kids were, I don't know, school age.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it really is. I mean, I love giving her the gift of being able to go away, and. Now she knows the kids are going to be fine.
Right.
And that she feels safe leaving them, and they're going to be fine. They're going to be fed. They're going to, you know, they're not going to look like urchins.
She can get that time away and really relax. And
she can get time away, rest, recharge. She just, I mean, we talked briefly last week. She went on a silent retreat, and, you know, so, she, I mean, that was a week-long thing, you know, which is fantastic, you know, and the kids do. I mean, and it's great. Let me just talk to the dads for a second. Guys, please just do yourself the favor, you know, of having time alone with your kids. You know, and we've talked about that with Alice on the show, the importance of dating your kids and doing all that. That's mom and dad. But guys, I know a lot of you are thinking, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't, you know, no one's ever taught me, because I mean, there's not a lot of mom classes. There are far fewer dad classes. And this is why so many of us isolate when we come home. We don't know what to do. We feel like, well, I don't know where anything is. I don't know. I'm going to put it in the wrong spot, or, you know, and I'm going to do something wrong with the kid. I don't know. And a lot of guys isolate out of just raging insecurity of not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But just jump in the battle. You know, just jump in there, because your wife, she doesn't really know either, you know, everything. You know, she's trying to figure it out too, but she's just engaged in doing it. And so this is the, you know, again, 90% of life, just showing up.
Yeah.
Just get in the game, guys. Just get in the game. I think a big part of our issues, you know, come from these father wounds that most of us have, we talked about on the show, you know, through, you know, a lot of our addictive issues come from father wounds, and a lot of daughter's issues come from, you know, dad being, you know, disengaged as well. You know, and I had a deep conviction in the church that men have just kind of abdicated and checked out. And we just got to get engaged. We just, you know, we've got to be emotionally responsive to our spouses. We've got to be emotionally responsive to our children, you know, and get into that.
That reminds me, I saw the movie Courageous last night. Have you guys seen it?
I've heard.
It touches on a lot of those issues, and man, I was crying through a lot of it. But it's exactly those things of, you know, showing up and being a father and what an impact that can make in your kids' lives.
Interesting point. Most of the positive comments I've seen about Courageous, the movie, have been from women. Guys, take a hint. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Tower Prince Live, Feminine Radio. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Tower Prince Live tonight, talking about making the transition from being husband and wife to being mom and dad, how you maintain marital satisfaction in that, how you do all these things. And babe, you had a post from Erin, our good friend, that she made in the Facebook chat. Can you pull that?
Yep. She said, it's amazing how little daily rituals can help. For us, I always call Mike on my way home from work, and we have a 5 to 10 minute conversation about our days. It's not always meaningful, but it's always there, and I think it's become a small part of the foundation of our marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's really a really good point, actually, and part of that whole emotional responsiveness and making marriage the household marriage centered. And a lot for husband and wives, a lot of times those moments that seem insignificant are so significant and laden with, you know, going and coming are big times of attachment, which is another topic that I love. But there's a lot of attachment, unspoken language going on there. And I love kind of using the picture of a... how as humans we get it wrong so often of coming in the door and, honey, I got, you know, the car's full of groceries. Can you get that? And so-and-so needs to be at practice in 10 minutes, you know, and it's just, you know, downloading information. And, you know, I read in one of the attachment books that I was reading said, you know, dogs really do it right. You know, when you're coming in the door, they're there shaking their tail and showing just how excited they are to see you. And, you know, just that true emotional responsiveness. Yeah. And not that we have to be that way with each other, but, you know, to make that intentional, to come in the door and before you do anything else to greet each other, to give a hug and a kiss and to have those moments of how was your day, to really connect. Those make all the differences in the world sometimes.
Yeah. I can speak for the guys. There's not a guy alive doesn't want that when they come home. You know, that's meaningful. And I think what Erin and her husband do is a great idea, because it is hard to, you know, roll in, you know, because, you know, the kids are there, the dogs are there, the cats are not, because they don't care. But, you know, you come in and there's just that kind of chaotic thing. So to have a moment just to kind of debrief a little bit and connect a little bit, you know, without the chaos is a great idea.
Oh, yeah. I can see where that's very significant and meaningful.
It goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Little goes a long way there.
Yeah. So way to go, Erin. Kara, really quick, we got a couple seconds left. I know you had some resources that you were, we asked you about, you know, some resources. So what resources do you have that we can post up on the Facebook page for people to go and pull?
Well, unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot of just good Christian resources available. Mm-hmm. And so that's on my to-do list of things to come. But I did give Teresa a link to a book that that talks about a lot of the research that we've been talking about tonight. And actually gives a lot of just practical, and probably, Jeremy, this would be a good one for you to look at, because it talks about a lot of practical things that you can do as a couple together, discussions to have, just practical things to do that's really just based in research. There's not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of Christian tones in it, but it's just good solid, based in research type stuff that's applicable to how to manage conflict, how to guard and maintain your intimacy, and how to make that time together apart from the baby, apart from the kids. So we'll post that.
That's great. Yeah, and that's already posted. It's called And Baby Makes Three, the 6-Step Plan for Preserving Marital Intimacy and Rekindling Romance After. I'm sure there's a rest of that title that didn't come up on the link, but it's
Baby Arrives.
After Baby Arrives. Fantastic. Thank you, baby. So there you go. We recommend that to you. We do want to also, say again, it's not an explicitly Christ-centered resource, but hey, relax. All truth is God's truth, okay? Get in there, find the meat, spit out the bones, inject the gospel into it, and you're going to be all right. All right? So it's certainly better than not doing anything. So jump on that. Thanks so much, Kara, for being here tonight. We've really learned a lot. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, enjoyed
and
it.
We look forward to having her back. We look forward to having you back as listeners next Sunday night here at Tal Prince Live Radio at FamilyNetRadio.com. We'll see you next week.